In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Here we are on the threshold of Great Lent, brothers and sisters. This is the last gospel that we read before we enter Lent. So, it's a very important gospel. Why do we read this gospel? Some might think it's because it talks about fasting, and that's part of it, but that's not the major part. It is because of three things. It's sort of an instruction manual for Great Lent. Now, I've told you about this many times, but I'll keep telling you about it because it's very important. You have to know why you're going through Great Lent. Actually, you have to know why you're going through anything. You have to know why you're fasting. You have to know why you forgive your brother. You have to know why all manner of things. You have to know why. So, why is it that we go through Great Lent? We go through Great Lent because it precedes Pascha. And we want Pascha to be a time when God's grace fully invigorates us, fully envelops us, fully baptizes us. We want the Holy Spirit to be in us and nothing else. So we want to change because there's a lot of changing that needs to do in order to have the Holy Spirit dwell completely in us, for us to be completely possessed by the Holy Spirit. That might sound like strange language to you, but there are prayers that actually speak in those terms. You can be a slave to the devil or a slave to God. You choose. If you're a slave to God, then truly you're free. So, we are going through Great Lent to change, to be different people, so that we can feel God more, so that there's less of us, less of our sins, less of our passions, and more of God within our heart. That's why we go through Great Lent. And there are exercises in Great Lent. There's the fasting, and there's the additional prayer, and there's the additional services, things like that. Absolutely. We are ascetical people, or we should be ascetical people. If we don't put effort into something, we don't value it. It doesn't matter what it is. If you don't put effort into your job, you don't value it. If you don't put effort into anything, you don't value it. So we must put effort into being Christians. This is very critically important. And so, you should put a lot of effort into Great Lent. And this gospel is speaking of basically three things. I'll spend time on the easiest one first. The least important one, the one that people think about first. They call it the Great Fast. Oh no Whataburgers for 50 days. How am I going to survive? That's what we think about, or what a lot of people think about. So the scripture tells us how to fast. You have to know why you fast. You fast to change. You fast because your nature is such that when you indulge yourself in foods, especially certain foods that are very rich and from passionate animals, you don't make spiritual progress. So this is a period of the time of the year when we don't eat meat products and other such foods, other foods, so that we can concentrate on prayer and change. We know that there is a connection between what we eat and how much we eat of it and how much attention we pay to it, and our spiritual life. That's well known. The church has always known this. And we know the connection between food and our activity, even in a secular way. You know that on Thanksgiving Day, nobody's going to do a whole lot of stuff after the Thanksgiving meal, because everybody's going to be tired, all the tryptophan is going to kick in, and you're basically going to probably watch half of the Cowboys game and fall asleep. We know this. So the church knows this. So that's the connection. If we eat overindulgent foods, and if we eat the foods that the church says we should not eat during the fast, we don't give ourselves this opportunity to be spiritually enlightened and edified. It's as simple as that. You can consider fasting to be hard. For some people, it's really hard. For some people, it's not so hard. But if you do it, then God has this opportunity, which he takes advantage of, because your heart is more open to him, and you see him more, and you make changes in yourself. So that's why we fast. And so the church talks about it in this gospel. You kind of have to tease this idea out of what the gospel is saying, but it's definitely saying what I'm telling you. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to fast. Verily, I say to you, they have their reward. You're fasting for a reward. You do everything for reward. You don't go to work because you're giving away your time. You go to work because they get paid. You're looking for a reward. I hope you're coming here today for a reward. I hope you're coming here to meet God and to be in his presence. We do everything for a reward. We also fast for a reward. Not that we say, if we fast in this way, God must give us something. But we are trying to prepare our soul so that it's fertile ground and the seed can grow. And it says, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou not appear unto men to fast, but unto thy Father who is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And what is this reward? It's not a gourmet meal. It is God in your heart. And if God is fully in your heart, no sin is in your heart. No anger, no jealousy, no bad thoughts about yourselves or about yourself or about others. Everything is gone except light is present and God is present. This is the reward of fasting that God will give you. So this is why you should be fasting and why I encourage you absolutely that you should fast, but with purpose and not to show people that, oh, I fast so much, I'm so tired. And by the way, if you get really irritable when you fast, go eat a hamburger. You're not supposed to fast and be irritable. You're supposed to be fasting in order to be praying, in order to be more close to God. There is purpose in your fasting. If there's no purpose in your fasting, then you will abandon it, or as bad, in fact, I think worse, become a Pharisee about it and look around and say, oh, that person, he ate an Oreo cookie. That probably has whey in it. We don't care about whey. We care about being close to God. We care about prayer. We care about changing our soul because our soul needs lots of changing. And this is this period of time when, as the apostle says, we should awaken out of sleep. The time is now at hand. So this is why we fast. But the two most important things that the gospel speaks of are not about fasting. The first is to forgive men their trespasses. And Jesus says it in a way that really leaves no room for quibbling at all. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now either he told the truth or he didn't. Either you believe him or you don't. If you do not forgive people, then you are far from God. And in fact, you will not be with God in the next age because you will not be forgiven. But if you forgive, God forgives your sins. This is an easy road to heaven. You might think it's hard because there might be people you don't like. But this is the easiest road, is to forgive others. And I'll tell you why you must forgive others. Of course, you could say, well, it's plain there, Father Seraphim. It says, if I don't forgive, I won't be forgiven, and I'll go to hell. That's not the reason. And if that's why you forgive people, it won't last long. There'll be somebody that'll just be unforgivable for you, if that's the reason. The reason why we must forgive is because God is love. So the scripture tells us. And love forgives. So if we do not forgive, we are not like God. We were born to be like God. This is why we must forgive, because we must live as sons and daughters of the highest. And as such, we must forgive, because it should be in our nature to forgive the lovely and the unlovely, the good and the bad, those who treat you well, those who treat you unkindly. This is why we must forgive. It's absolutely critical. And I would be bold to tell you, every single one of us in this room, without exception, and me first, has trouble forgiving. We don't forgive perfectly. And the reason this is true, that I can say this statement for every single one of you, is because if we forgave perfectly, we would be full of God. And there would be nothing else. There would be no sin. We would not sin if we forgave perfectly. Because then God would be all in us, all in all. And there would be nothing else. But because we have our sins, we must not forgive perfectly. You must struggle to do this. And I've given you some of the nuts and bolts of doing it. For instance, you must always pray for the person that you have troubles with. Pray for them before your wife, before your child, before your mother, before your father, because that hinders your prayer. So you must forgive. And yes, Jesus says, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. That's absolutely true, because he said it, and it will be true. But again, I tell you, we forgive because we should be sons and daughters of the highest. We should be unlike other men of the world. We should be like God. We were created to be like him, since we are in his image and after his likeness. This is why we must struggle to forgive. And you, during this period of Great Lent, should find some opportunities to forgive. And also, sometimes when you find out that you didn't forgive, and it's a very subtle sin. Sometimes we say, well, I forgave that person, but I'll never forget. Come on, who are you trying to kid? Or, you know, I love that person, but I just don't like them very much. Really? Come on. If you lie to yourself, how are you going to figure things out? There's lots of subtle ways in which we don't forgive others. We judge them for what they do. We say we don't like them. We might say a few things about them when they're not around, etc., etc. God will show you this if you're open to changing. And then the most important thing that the gospel talks about today is about the treasure in your heart. Now we, as human beings, can't focus on something 100% of the time, full bore. It's just not possible. If you run a marathon, you don't sprint it. It's not possible to sprint it. There is no athlete alive that can sprint a marathon. They must pace themselves. And we must pace ourselves too. We have periods of work, periods of rest. So this is our period of work. This is our time for struggle. This is our time for intensity, to increase your prayer, to increase your fasting, maybe to start fasting, and to work on yourself with God helping you. This is what you must do. And the biggest problem that any Christian has, everybody in this room, myself included, is that we treasure things that are valueless. We treasure things such as our ego, such as money, such as entertainments, such as holding an opinion about somebody that makes us feel better about ourselves. We treasure being angry. We treasure pleasures of the flesh and of the mind. We treasure these things. And how do we know this? Look at how you spend your day. Look at what you do. Look at what you think about. Look at what your priorities are. We need to change our priorities. There's only one thing that lasts in this world. Everything's going away. God always was and always is. He's not going away. The only thing that remains from your life, from the day of your birth to the day of your death, is who you are. Everything else goes away. Your standing, your wealth, your health, your family relationships, all your accomplishments, all of it's gone. There's only one thing that remains, who you are. So during Great Lent, and all of the year, but especially during Great Lent, because it's a period of focus, you should be trying to change who you are, to be a different person. That's the purpose of Great Lent, and that's basically to change what you treasure. Because the Lord says, where your treasure is, there is your heart. And God abides in the heart. So if you don't treasure God, He is not in your heart, because you're not with Him. So you must focus on God. And of course, there's practical things to do. There's reading of the scriptures that I tell you about all the time. Very, very important. There's prayer. Critically important. There's forgiving your brother. There is focusing on spiritual things and not physical things. There is living every day of your life like it's your last day, and living with purpose, remembering who you are. You are a child of God, unworthy to be sure, a sinner to be sure, but a child of God by grace. And God made you to be in His presence. And how dare we, when He wants us to be in His presence, we turn our back on Him with our sins, with our thoughts, with our bad priorities, with our attitudes. This is the time, especially during the year, to try to, as the scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things shall be added. To change our hearts, even a little bit. Now, perhaps you think this is really hard. Perhaps some of you don't fast. And perhaps some of you fast poorly, and you always end up by Friday in Great Lent eating something like a hamburger or cheese or something. And you think, I'm a failure. Or perhaps you think, there's a person that I really just don't like. Father Seraphim tells me to pray for them, but I don't do it very often. And I found out recently that they had something bad happen to them, and I was really happy. You think, what good is it for me to keep trying because I keep messing up? The scripture that we read for the epistle tells us an answer to that. So I'll read it to you. I talked about it last night. It's incredibly exciting. It's because I can't do any of this stuff. Neither can you. We're weak. We're terrible. But God loves us. And He will help us. But He won't help a person who doesn't want to be helped. So what does the apostle say? He says, in another context, actually, I'll explain the context. This is what's so beautiful about Scripture. Even though St. Paul was speaking of not judging someone, and this is the context of not judging another man, there's another meaning to this Scripture, and I'll explain it. So he's talking about you shouldn't judge another man. And he says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him to stand. So that's what you should think about other people. God will make that person stand. He's able to do it. And then not judge him for that reason. But you should also not judge yourself for that reason. So you don't fast very well. So, you know, you're kind of lazy. You don't pray very often. There's somebody you don't forgive. You have a lot of unclean thoughts, whatever. You got all that stuff going on, all that ick in your soul. But it says here, God is able to make him to stand. Well, him is also you. God is able to make you to stand. Don't you dare not believe that. That's death, to not believe that. That's the way of death. That's basically despondency. God can make you stand. So stand up. If you fall down, stand up again. If you get a bum leg, then drag it behind you. Keep struggling. God will help you throughout this Great Lent. Don't measure your Lent by whether or not you haven't eaten any meat. Don't measure your Lent by how many prayers you say. Don't measure your Lent by how many extra services you go to, but you better go to extra services. I'm going to tell you about that all the time. Very critical. You got to take it seriously. Measure your Lent by, are you more open to God? Are you changing somewhat? Do you feel a little light in you, a little warmth? Perhaps there's something that's really tough in your life. Do you feel some consolation about it? I don't mean that it goes away. I mean, in a magic fairyland, things go away. But in real life, sometimes the things we've done to ourselves, they remain, they linger. Maybe forever. But do you feel consolation from God during this period of time, even a little bit? If you do, then you're doing Lent well. I don't want you to think I'm saying it doesn't matter if you fast. It matters a lot if you fast. What really matters the most about fasting is that you take it seriously and you try. If you try and fail, God will help you. If you don't try at all, then God's not going to help you. It's just truth. If you try to forgive someone and you're up and down, God will forgive that. God will help you to move towards complete love for that person. If you don't try, God will abandon you. That's just the truth. So there are things in this gospel that are very, there's no way getting around them. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. But what I've tried to tell you is that we forgive not because it's a rule that will hit us with a hammer if we don't do it, but because it is our nature. We were created with such a nature that should forgive. We are living according to our nature if we forgive. And it's always correct to live according to your nature. And our nature is to be sons and daughters of the highest. So this is why we're in Great Lent. I hope you're excited. Perhaps you're thinking, it's going to be long. Yeah, it is long. Right around the fourth week, it gets pretty long. I hope you don't say it gets long on Monday. It will just starting out tomorrow. Pray. Fast. Struggle. God will help you. Amen.